This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin, the second hour of the Sunday Spin, our review of politics and what's going on in policy in the state and the city. And joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio, I'm very pleased to have Teresa Ma. And Teresa's the Democratic nominee in the 2nd House District from the city of Chicago, and that includes Chinatown, Bridgeport, Pilsen, McKinley Park, back of the yards. And Teresa's primary victory was probably one of the more newsworthy events that happened, even though everybody looks at the presidential and the top of the ticket, won a very, very close race. This was the seat vacancy being left by State Representative Eddie Acevedo, and his son, Alex Acevedo, was running to succeed him, and that's who you ended up defeating in a very close contest.
Good morning, Rick. It's great to be here. Yeah, that's right. Close contest, 515 votes.
So how did you win?
Well, I worked really hard. I'd been knocking on doors since the summer. I talked to voters, listened to them, and really was able to get my message across. I also put together a coalition of volunteers and donors and voters. I had a multilingual, multi-ethnic campaign. We had campaign literature in three different languages. We really reached out to all the voters in the district. And
well, I think that multi-ethnic, multi-racial component was a key part of this, given this is a very diverse district, and here you will become, because we know how Democratic Party politics works, Democratic primary politics works in Chicago, that in January you will become the first Asian American member of the Illinois General Assembly.
Absolutely. I'm proud of that. It's exciting for me to represent the Asian American community, but all the constituents in my district, it's, as you said, a very diverse district. And I love it. I love how wonderful and diverse it is. And I got to meet a lot of the folks while I was knocking on doors and going to various churches and block parties, CAPS meetings, community events. And so I was in every corner of the district, got to talk to everyone, and it was a fantastic experience.
One of the things that I thought was unique, and I don't mean to generalize here, but typically, I'm down in the South Loop, not far away from Chinatown, and it seems typically politically, the Chinatown community is kind of just goes with what they are used to, and that in this case, you rocked the boat. And the vote. How did that happen?
Well, they've never had someone that they could really identify with and relate to and fully come out to support in an election. It wasn't until 2011 that we redrew the boundaries of that district to include the vast majority of the Chinatown population in that area. So,
and that's always had been an issue of how mm-hmm. fractured, as far as political boundaries mm-hmm. were, mm-hmm. how fractured the Chinatown community was.
Right. So we worked really hard to get the population all in a single district so that folks would have a voice and have the ability to vote someone in or out. And so this year I emerged as the candidate who was able to excite them and get their vote. And I'm excited to represent them in Springfield.
So obviously, you're no stranger to Springfield and the politics that's been going on. And, you know, here we are 10 months without a state budget. We just had Republican Representative David McSweeney on talking about his concerns. What do you bring to the table as far as a perspective that of looking at this from the outside? And we may not have a budget when you get sworn in January.
That's outrageous, and it's been hurting a lot of people. I've heard the stories while I've been knocking on doors. What I would like to do in Springfield is bring those voices to the table so that there's more attention focused on.
I mean, people always use that stakeholders thing, but these are, you're talking about the real people.
The real people and the real stories that are out there. I mean, folks who are losing jobs, losing services. There's a lot of suffering. I mean, the students who have come to me and talked about how devastating it is that they're losing their MAP grants, you know, social services that have to shut down. We're really facing a situation where the social service infrastructure in our state is at risk. It's crumbling in front of our eyes. And this is just an outrageous situation that needs to change. And so I bring an independent voice to Springfield. I also have a deep desire to be a voice for the people in my district and make sure that their experiences are heard, you know, when these negotiations are going on.
One of the concerns that I've talked about on this show several times, particularly about social services and the crumbling of that safety net network, is that this doesn't seem to be, because of the special people that participate and believe in wanting to help, and those are unique individuals, but that should the cash flow spigot get turned on from a budget agreement, those social services and the people who work for them and are being laid off, they don't just automatically come back and spring back into life.
That's right. It's taken many, many years to build up what we have. And so, you know, to put our state in a situation where this system, our social services infrastructure, gets damaged and destroyed in this way is really outrageous, because it does take a while for things to get built back up. And, you know, in the meantime, it's hurting our economy.
And not to mention all of the at-risk individuals or those who need those services that have no place to turn to.
In many cases, it's a life and death situation. People are really suffering, and I feel for them. I feel an obligation to try to get something done.
We're speaking with Teresa Ma. She's the Democratic nominee in the 2nd House District from the City of Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Teresa Ma. She's the Democratic nominee in the 2nd House District in the City of Chicago. And we're talking about perspectives that she can bring when she is inaugurated with the new General Assembly in January. We all know kind of where the struggle is in this budget mess between Governor Rauner and what he calls his turnaround agenda, and then Democrats who control supermajorities in the House and Senate. And we have no movement. And certainly what parts of the governor's agenda, particularly the union weakening provisions, are things that the Democrats are just not going to support. And I've said throughout this that, and even looking at some of the post-primary responses from the governor, from the speaker, when you have both sides that think they're winning, you're never going to move anything. I'd be interested in your take on that kind of struggle. As you say, you bring an independent voice to this.
And I also bring a voice that represents the people in my district. And, you know, one of the things that I stand pretty firmly on is the need to preserve the institutions that help build the middle class. And so, you know, I'm on the side of making sure that our unions don't get destroyed. And, you know, I was out there marching with the teachers the other day. I serve on the local school council of a neighborhood high school. And so, you know, I'm there to focus on investing in our education system and making sure that the families in our district get a fair shake.
Well, let's talk about education funding, because that's obviously been something in the news, even aside from the issue of Friday's day of action and those kinds of things, is the fact that you do have the governor say, I think there ought to be more money in Illinois public education system. And we have always, every politician says education's my number one priority. But then you start breaking that down, and you have Senate President John Cullerton saying that we need to redo the school aid formula, that how, when schools got, I think it was $275 million more in elementary secondary funding, the only part of the budget that really got funded, but yet Chicago still took a hit under the formula, and now we, you know, have some of these dire warnings about the fate of the Chicago public schools. Where do you fall into all of this kind of thing?
Well, I don't know if you know, but my background's in education. I spent 15 years teaching at the college level. So I think it's important to invest in our educational system, make sure that higher education is accessible to the families in the district and all over Illinois. I am a firm believer in the need to make sure that all those resources are accessible, especially for the immigrant families in my district. You know, I'm from an immigrant family, and for me, in order to get where I am today, I had to have access to good quality education, and I want that for all the families in our district.
Well, just to interject, we have Governor Rauner saying that, you know, maybe not necessarily every student, high school graduate, needs to go to a university, that maybe more vocational training, those kinds of things. And of course, for decades, even covering presidential candidates, we'd go to community colleges that were having partnerships with companies and for that kind of vocational stuff, but it never seems to have become a unified or unified forceful effort from the federal government or the state government. Mm-hmm. But, you know, tied with that is the fact that, you know, everybody, I think, believes that every student should have the opportunity to go to college if they want to.
Absolutely. And we need to make sure that K through 12 and early childhood is available to make sure that students can go to college if they want to, and that we invest in a system that prepares our students for whatever future that they see for themselves. I mean, if it's apprenticeships and alternatives to four-year college, that's fine. But we need to strengthen our education system all the way around, and we need to make sure that students have access.
But that takes money.
It does.
And where does the money come from?
It does. Well, you know, when I was campaigning, I talked a lot about the need to close corporate tax loopholes. And what I bring to the table is, you know, I'm an independent voice in the state legislature now. You know, I ran a campaign where I raised money from individual donors, over 800 individual donors. And, you know, I didn't have, special interest groups or PACs giving me money. I'm able to go to Springfield and fight for some of these revenue ideas that, you know, folks who are part of the status quo aren't willing to speak up about.
Does that include, for example, on the issue of pensions, one of the things that Forrest Claypool has talked about, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has talked about, the issue of, as far as the pensions of Chicago, teachers are paid through local property taxes, where for every district outside the city, that's a state funded component, and it's been one of those issues that has helped create the pension mess, that of the 3% compounded cost of living, those kinds of things. Can you talk about pensions and that idea about maybe the local districts outside Chicago should be picking up the cost of pensions rather than that being necessarily a state obligation?
Well, however we end up doing it, I think the bottom line is that we need to make sure our teachers are well compensated and that we're not constantly, you know, trying to take away, you know, what they need to do well in the classrooms and really serve our kids. So funding our education system means that, you know, we make sure that the conditions in the classroom are good for the kids, that we don't have class sizes that are too large, and that we don't keep taking resources away from teachers, you know, because they work really hard. And, you know, as somebody who's an educator myself, you know, I know what they go through. And I hear a lot of the criticisms that are directed at teachers, you know.
Well, like, I was just going to mention, because, I mean, certainly for every supporter of a teacher, there's the, well, you know, they make too much money, they, you know, they don't have to work in the summer, those kinds of things. That, I mean, how do you respond to those kinds of criticisms?
Well, the teachers I know, they work after hours. Their work doesn't stop in the summers. And now, you know, with the attempt to take this away and take that away, you know, a lot of them are having to do multiple jobs, it seems, you know, so they're not just, you know, teaching the classes that they're assigned to, but they're having to pick up other responsibilities because things are being cut left and right. You know, there's staffing issues at a lot of schools, and, you know, I think that they work a lot harder than they're given credit for, especially from these critics.
Easy targets?
I think so. I mean, when I was teaching, you know, I heard those criticisms. Oh, you know, you only work 9 months out of the year, but it actually, the work doesn't stop. And, you know, if you want to be a good teacher, I mean, you're available and around and you're there mentoring the kids and you're writing letters of recommendation. You're doing all kinds of things that are not part of the everyday job description.
And we probably should mention, too, when it comes to pensions, teachers don't, they're not part of the Social Security system, so
right.
that is their
right.
benefit.
And you know what they were promised is what they should get.
That's Teresa Ma. She is the Democratic nominee in the 2nd House District in the city of Chicago, and will be taking that seat come January of 2017. And hopefully, there'll be a state budget by then.
Hopefully.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It was a pleasure.
We'll be back with more right after this.